Hi, Anne. Thank you for joining us today. It's good to see you.
Oh, it's great. Thanks.
You're an experienced journalist. Do you remember the moment Ivan Milat was arrested for those murders?
Yes. Well, actually, my mother had a house down at Bundanoon, which is just near the Belanglo Forest, and one of her neighbours was one of the people who found some of the bodies. So I remember her ringing me and saying, Bruce has found a body in Belanglo State Forest. And that was, I think, the second lot of bodies they'd found there. At that point, I think Australia realised that we weren't just dealing with one or two murders, but there were a lot. And then the police went into the forest and found another three bodies after the first three.
So you must have a really vivid memory of this story, given that personal connection.
Yeah.
What happened to Australia and the psyche after these murders were discovered?
Well, I think it started a bit before that, because we realised there were these backpackers missing, and that went on for a year or two until they were discovered. So the parents, particularly of some of the German backpackers, did a lot of television and tried very hard to find their children. And so when it all unfolded and we realised how truly terrible these crimes were, because the victims had been tortured, stabbed multiple times, tied up, shot, possibly let loose and then shot as they were trying to run away. I mean, it was a truly, truly terrible scenario. So I think Australia and just everyone was really shocked, because also we don't have many serial killers in Australia. And so when you find seven bodies in one place, it's quite likely there's a connection.
So Ivan Milat was arrested, put on trial, and jailed for life. What made him so dangerous?
I think it was his cold-bloodedness. He had a very long history of violent crime. That will be one of the things that comes up in the future. He'd been arrested for rape. He'd been involved in armed robberies. He loved guns. And so as the sort of personality we learned about what he was like, I think people realised this was, you know, a really sinister thing.
And there were stories of how he was in prison as well. He remained quite a manipulative person.
Yeah. So when he was in prison, he did things like swallow razor blades and things to get attention and to manipulate the guards. One of the terrible things is that he never really talked. He was asked multiple times about whether he was involved in other crimes, and he has refused to say anything about any of them. He maintained his innocence for the seven backpacker murders, and at his trial, his defence was that they got the wrong Milat. Throughout the investigation, I think the police suspected that there might have been two people involved, because often there were pairs of victims, and it doesn't take too much imagination to realise that it would be quite hard to restrain two people at once. But Ivan was found to be guilty of the seven murders, and there has been for a long time suspicions that he was involved in many other disappearances as well.
Ivan Milat has now died in prison, and the conversation has returned now to these extra victims that people believe he may be guilty of. I want to start with one unsolved murder, that of Karen Rowland.
Yes. So Karen Rowland was in the city in Canberra in February 1971. She was due to go to a party, and she split up with a sister who went with a boyfriend. Karen was meant to drive there. Her car was found without petrol down in one part of Canberra, and there was no sign of her. She was found 3 months later. Her body was found out near the Air Disaster Memorial, which is on the edge of Canberra in a pine forest. And they never really quite got to the bottom of what her cause of death was, but, you know, it possibly was one of the early murders of Ivan Milat. Now, Karen had a cousin or a cousin-in-law, Hugh Hughes, who was an English policeman with the Metropolitan Police. He was a detective himself. He's now retired. But he and Karen's brother have become pretty much obsessed by trying to solve her murder, 50 years down the track. And so he comes out to Australia. He's tried very hard to get into the police files. He's had some cooperation from the New South Wales police, not so much from the ACT police. But he told me when I interviewed him that he was 95 to 98% certain that Ivan Milat was responsible for Karen's death in 1971. Now, that's quite a shocking thought because that murder occurred 20 years before the backpacker murders. And if Ivan Milat was doing this for years and years, how many other victims are there?
He believes that she was potentially his first victim.
Yes, that's right. He says that he thinks Karen was the first victim of Ivan Milat. Now, we know Ivan Milat was working with the Water Board in Queanbeyan, which is right next to Canberra. I believe he was looked at as a suspect, in fact, probably the only suspect. The reason for that was after Karen disappeared, Ivan Milat was charged with rape of another woman, Margaret Patterson, who was picked up when she was hitchhiking near Goulburn. Now, she got away after the rape. She and her friend got away, and they went to police. Ivan Milat was acquitted of that rape, but it certainly raised a red flag in relation to Karen Rowland's disappearance because of the similarities of the circumstances, their age. And, you know, in those days, Canberra was a country town.
Not the city it is today. It's those similarities have led one New South Wales Upper House MP, Jeremy Buckingham, to believe that Milat could have murdered more than 80 people, which is an astonishing number. Why does he think that, and how has he now pursued this issue?
Okay, so he became interested in it, he told me, because someone had disappeared in his local area on the mid-north coast. Now, this was after Ivan Milat was jailed, but, you know, I think he was talking to the family, he became fascinated by how people could just disappear. And he started looking at the numbers of people who have disappeared or disappeared and then subsequently been found murdered. I think he's come to the conclusion that there just hasn't been enough linking of the cases. So that's why he wants a parliamentary inquiry.
And he's confronted the New South Wales Premier, Chris Minn, over this very issue. Can you describe that moment?
Yeah. So at one stage, Jeremy Buckingham went into Parliament and raised the Identikit picture from 1966 of the what are known as the Wanda Beach murders. Now, two young women disappeared from the beach, never to be found again. And
a separate case.
Yes, a separate case. So this is in 1966. We're going back even further. Anyway, he found a picture of Ivan Milat around the same age, put them together, presented them to Parliament, and
for the record, you think that those images are remarkably similar?
I'm concerned that they are incredibly similar. You know, I do take your general point that if there's government information that can shine a light or a spotlight on further investigations.
He convinced the Premier that there is something to be looked at here.
Will your government support the calls from victims' families for a parliamentary inquiry into the crimes of Ivan Milat and his associates?
Well, let me take that on notice. Perhaps the best thing for me to do is to meet with you, and I'm with you.
Now, I think the issue for the police is they have to prove cases beyond reasonable doubt to get a criminal conviction. So, you know, often these things are being done separately by different police in different areas, and they have in their minds they're trying to get a conviction. Now, Jeremy wants to do something different. He wants to prove that there is a big connection and that perhaps there's even been a cover-up. Now, I'm not sure he'll get that far, but he feels that there's maybe a case to be made that Ivan Milat was protected by the police, that his name came up in on numerous occasions, but for some reason, which is not apparent to me, the police did not pursue Ivan Milat. Now, Ivan Milat's family were known to the police in southwest Sydney, so I guess it is a question. Why weren't they looked at more often, particularly when there had been a number of occasions where Ivan Milat at least had come to the attention of police for picking up hitchhikers and raping people? And
have police responded to those specific allegations?
So the police formally say they're going to cooperate with this inquiry. And I should say, like, the families of victims are very keen to have this inquiry to try and get answers. Now, the inquiry won't have to go as far as the police have to go. They just have to go on the balance of probabilities. But the police are not happy because a lot of these are open, unsolved cases. And they say we're working on them at our pace, in our way, and they absolutely deny that they've sat on their hands. So I think it's going to be interesting when the inquiry starts to see how much the police really do cooperate.
We'll be right back.